I love that. Thank you, Melissa, on the piano this morning. We're going to let our Children's Church young people slip out. We have a few here this morning and ready to go to their church service. Appreciate our workers as well. We invite you to look at our text this morning, John chapter 8. After we read our scripture verse, Brother Frank is going to sing our special, so he'll be in place ready to sing for us this morning after we pray. But John chapter 8, if you'll look there with me, and if you're able, stand one more time with me in reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter 8. Now, we've been speaking on a series of messages over the last few Sundays on the importance of honoring the Word of God, something that we are failing to do in today's society. Honor the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, that is, if you abide in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, or we are Abraham's seed, or descendants, and were never in bondage or enslaved to any man. Now sayest thou, ye shall be made free, they ask. So Jesus answered them in verse 34, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, just very simply, he says, if you're practicing sin habitually, then you're a servant to sin, you're a slave to sin. And the servant, verse 35, abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. In verse 37, Jesus says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Let us pray together. Father, it is a joy to be in your house today, and thank you for our guests that are here. Lord, I pray, Father, that they'll be blessed in the preaching of your word along with, Lord, our church family. And God, we realize none of us are here by mistake. You've made it possible where we could all be here. We thank you through your providence that you did so. Now, Lord, I pray that one more time that you'll use me as your servant to preach the word that you have given me to preach today. And I pray, Father, that our hearts will be open and our ears will be receptive, God, to the message you have for each and every one of us. And may we be willing to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life. If there's one that is unsaved here today, not a believer, that they would see the need through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to give their heart to you to be saved today. And Lord, if there is someone here that is a believer, but Lord, they're not living for you, or maybe there's things that's going on in their life, may they find liberty, that freedom that maybe they have lost. Lord, that they have been enslaved to sin once again. Lord, I pray that they can, Lord, find that freedom through you. Thank you for the free gift that we have in Jesus Christ today of knowing you as our Savior. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Frank. So good, so true, right? It's the ground is level at the foot of the cross. John chapter 8 is what we're looking at this morning, our scripture passage. We've entitled today's message, A Place for the Word, A Place for the Word, because over the past few weeks, we have been focusing on the Word of God. That is to encourage all of us to honor God's Word. No doubt, we need to all get back to the Word of God, not saying that you're away from it, but I dare say we can all do better, right? And as a nation, as we know that all the things that's going on around us, it would do us good as a nation to get back to the Word of God. And so I want to draw your attention to a rather strong statement that Jesus made concerning His Word in John chapter 8. Now, please understand, the people that He was speaking to, they were being addressed. These were Jews, and they were very religious people. And I use the word religious in parentheses because they thought that they knew all that they needed to know. Didn't need any word from God, but yet they were religious. They did many things that would cause others to think that they were spiritual. But it really doesn't matter, and I think you'd agree with this, it really doesn't matter what others say. It's more important to listen to what Jesus has to say. Would you agree with that? It is. And he makes an even stronger statement a little farther along in John chapter 8, verse 47. And it says, "He that is of God heareth God's words." In other words, he who is of God hears the word of God, right? Ye therefore hear them not. In other words, you for this reason hear them not, because you are not of God. Now that was a strong statement that was being told to these Jews, this religious crowd, who felt as though that they didn't need to be preached to. You know, they didn't need to hear a message from the one that they were actually trying to put to death. But the basis for such a statement is clear. It revolves around their response to his word. And since these Jews, they refused to hear and receive the word, the Lord clearly states that they are not of God. Earlier, he had stated that there was no place for his word in them. Now, listen, a genuine believer, and I know you don't have any problem with this, but a genuine believer holds fast, obeys, and practices Jesus' teaching, right? A genuine believer, someone who's truly put their faith in Christ, is going to obey Christ, is going to practice genuinely their faith, and genuinely saved and obedient followers of the Lord Jesus will know divine truth and both freedom from sin. So the divine truth comes not merely by intellectual assent, that is, a decision made of the head, but is a saving commitment to Christ in our heart. And so these religious Jews, they didn't know Christ genuinely because they were religious. They believed their own thing, and they did not need to be taught a different way. And Jesus was teaching them, really, that he is the way. And John, we see that. He is the door. He is the way, the only way. But a place for the word is not welcome in society even today. A place for the word of God is not honored as it should be today. And our challenge to the church over the last several weeks, and I believe what will obviously cause this nation to get back to God, would be we need to get back to the living word of God. God's word is a living book. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword. It's alive. The word quick there means it's living. But let me ask you a couple of questions this morning, starting with this question. And that is, what place should the word of God have in the hearts and the lives of a person? What place should it have in the hearts and lives of a person? I'll give you a few things to think about this morning. And I'm sure all of you can agree with this. But you may run across somebody, and I'm sure you have, that may not agree with what we're about to say. And I know that that's going to be a case if you speak for the Lord enough times. What place should the Word of God have in the hearts and lives of mankind? First of all, the Word should have an inside place. That's right. The Word of God should have an inside place. Now, it should have a place in our thoughts and our memory. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." An inside place. When you think of the word of God having an inside place, you ever find yourself, when you sometimes you just start thinking about Scripture, or you're reading Scripture, then sometimes a song will just come into your heart. I mean, you'll just start singing joyfully to the Lord. And that comes from the inside of knowing the Word, knowing who is the Word of God, and that's the Lord Himself. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," David says, "that I might not," what? "Sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart. So again, a key passage there, we need to have the Word of God placed on the inside, you know, very simply to protect us. From what? Like David said, from the sin that's so prevalent among us today. Now, I don't know about you, but I guarantee you before the week's out, actually before the day's out, you're going to be tempted to sin. I mean, there's something going to come at you, whether it be, you know, just, you know, someone you're hanging out with, or, you know, something that you see or whatever. Listen, sometimes I drive by the car dealership and I see a red truck, and I'm tempted to go and get in debt. But I realize that wouldn't be right, really. I'm being a little bit facetious, but sometimes that's the way it is, right? That's the way, if we're not allowing the Word of God to be in our hearts and our mind and controlling us on the inside, then we're susceptible to the ways of the world. You know, all too often our minds are crowded with all the cares of the world. I mean, it really is. Just this past week in Birmingham, you may have heard on the news a very sad story that a little baby was left in their vehicle in the heat. I believe the baby was about 3 years old. Now, from what I understand, and I don't know the full story of this, from what I understand, the parents, I don't believe yet, I don't know, maybe something else has come out different. I don't believe they intentionally, in this case, intentionally meant to leave that child in that car. Matter of fact, from what I read, the husband dropped his wife off downtown to work, and then he went to go to work, and sounded like they're, you know, well-educated people and you know, had good jobs. It's believed, and I believe this is the way it was referenced in the article, that they obviously had their mind on other things. The dad had his mind on other things. It was maybe crowded with the problems of the day that was going on. I'm not trying to make excuse. I don't know the story. But, for someone to leave an innocent child in a car, and this child we need to pray for is in a children's hospital, and maybe will not live. We don't know that yet. But yet, I don't believe the parents set out to wake up, in this case, to say, we're going to kill our child. It's just that I would like to think that maybe something happened to where their minds were clouded to that day, or crowded with things to where that was probably what happened. And you know what? Why you say that, preacher? Because that happens in our life on a daily basis in the Christian life. You know, sometimes it's, yes, the politics that takes place that causes us to worry and fret about what's life going to be like in the next 6 months or next 4 years or whatever. Sometimes it's family issues that we're dealing with that may come our way. And I dare say some of you have some family issues right now you're dealing with that's crowded and clouded your mind, and you're looking for answers and you don't know how to deal with that. Or it may be this morning some illnesses that set in, or sickness that really you have absolutely no control of, and it's really bombarded you and gotten a hold of it. Maybe it's that work environment that you're in. And I mean, we could go on and on with things if we let it crowd our mind. You know, to the point to where the Word of God is not effective like it wants to be. I mean, the Lord is to have the inside place in our life. Matter of fact, I meddled last week. I'll meddle it again today. Did you even give God time today in His Word? I would challenge you. Listen, don't go a day without being in the Word of God. The best way we can honor the Word of God is go to the very one who speaks to us on a daily basis. And the only way God speaks to us is through the Word of God, as the Spirit works. So I challenge not just kids. Listen, sometimes we as parents, we challenge our kids to read the Bible. But listen, how many of adults, and I'm meddling, but how many of us adults really are in God's Word as we should? You know, we need to really be in God's Word because we need to have it on the inside. Oh, listen, memorize it. That's a good way. Remember, Howard and Chris can relate to this. Every Wednesday night at Thomas Road Baptist Church, who was it got up? J.O. Grooms got up every Wednesday night, and he would have the scripture verse for the evening. And we would say it five times audibly out loud. His saying was, if you say it five times audibly out loud, you have it memorized by the fifth time. Now, that didn't always work for me. Now, as I'm getting older, I better say it at least 10 times. But no, listen, why, and J.L. Williams was right in why he was encouraging us to memorize the Word of God, simply because we hide the Word of God, like David saying here, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against Thee." Oh, it's so important to have the Word of God, right? We honor the Word by having it in our life. Now, we can carry the Word of God all day long with us. Now, the good thing about, some good things about having Bible apps today, or apps today, is your Bible app. You know, sometimes I don't carry a New Testament like I used to, but boy, I like it. I've got a Bible app on this thing. Boy, I can pull it out if I want. If I'm at the hospital. Now, I'm not looking for Pokemon, by the way, all right? But I can pull it out, and I can read the Bible off of my cell phone or whatever. Now, that's a good thing if you use it for that reason. Now, sometimes it's used in church. By the way, I'm not encouraging you to take the phone out or whatever in church and use it, because some people can interpret that, and not that you're worried about what other people think, but we should. We don't want to be a distraction, okay? So have the Word of God in church. Open it up, all right, and use it in that way if you can. But hide the Word of God inside place. Another way that we can live out and have the Word of God in our life, it should be a place, a reason why, it should be a place of honor. The Word of God should have a place of honor in our life. You know, I'm sure you can agree with this. And I don't say this in a way of worshiping the Word of God. We shouldn't bow down to it, to worship it. But I definitely believe we ought to reverence and obey the Word of God. Obey all of it. Not just pick and choose what we want to pick and choose. Sometimes we're guilty of that. I've been guilty of that in my life. But in reverencing the Word of God, we reverence it by obeying it, striving to listen, to live it out, to obey it, not just to preach it. Because you see, for me to get up and preach, it comes natural because I'm a preacher. But I sure don't want to get up here and preach something that I'm not willing to live out myself, or I'm not willing. Because believe me, preachers best know that it's going to come back to haunt you if you don't. So if I'm challenging you to be in God's Word, to honor God's Word, then I better be doing it myself, because I'm going to give an account to God first and foremost. That's what's important. And so, you know, as parents, the same applies. You know, many folks give the Word of God a place of reverence in their homes. Sometimes you'll go in homes, you'll see a beautiful family Bible on display, and nothing wrong with that. I was raised up seeing that in our home. But few really honor God's Word enough to read and obey it. You know, we need to read and obey God's Word. That's how we have that place of honor in our life. Luke chapter 4, if you want, excuse me, Luke chapter 6, if you want to look there, you can. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 simply says, "And why," the Lord says, "and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Hey, listen, what's the Lord saying here? Why are you calling me Lord? Why are you saying I'm your Lord, but you don't do or you won't obey what I'm saying? You see, in other words, it's not sufficient to give lip service to Christ's Lordship, as many will try to do, but genuine faith produces obedience. Matter of fact, in that same chapter, verse 44, it says, the Lord says, a tree is known by its fruits. So really, it's going to be evident. If really you call me Lord, then it'll come out eventually. I mean, it'll come out in the way you act, the way you speak, or whatever. If truly the Lord is the Lord of your life, it will show up by the fruits of your life, by the fruit. And so that's what Jesus is saying. The Word of God is our foundation in times of storm and difficulty. Look over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As we give place to the Word of God, as we give honor to the Word of God, know that the Word of God is our foundation in times of storm and difficulty. In other words, quite often we'll turn to the Bible when there are those storms in our life or those difficulties, because we need strength, right? And it's not a bad place to go to. We need to do that. But in Matthew chapter 7, notice what the Lord says beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and doeth them, that is, acts upon them, I will liken him or compare him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, that is, it fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, literally slammed against the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Did you get it? How did that rock stay strong? That house stay strong? Because it was founded upon the rock. And then he says, and everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not, does not act on them, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, that it fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, beat against it, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, the house represents here a religious life. Think of it in those terms. A house represents the religious life. The rain represents divine judgment. And only the house built upon the foundation of obedience to God's word will stand. Which calls really for repentance, right? It calls for rejection of salvation by works and trust in God's grace to save through His merciful provisions. You want to stand in the storms of life? Build your house, your spiritual house, on the Word of God. The storms are going to come. The difficulties are going to come. Listen, the same applies to a nation. Listen, this great nation was built on the Word of God, if I understand history correct. And we had some storms come our way. We had some difficulties. This nation has faced some great trials and has stood the test. The storms are coming. The trials are here. Now, I don't know what we'll be faced with. But the concern for most of us, and I'm not trying to preach doom or anything, because I God's still in control of things. But the concern I have is that the church has gotten away from God's Word. As I said over the last few weeks, the problem this nation is going through is not because of politicians that we like to point a finger at. The problem is God's people have not stood on the Word of God. So, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, this is the truth. It hurts. Because we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in if more preachers would get up in this pulpit and preach the Word as they should. We wouldn't be in the shape that we're in today if more dads would be dads in the home. Listen, and lead in the home. And the way that God has designed the home. And how men will be men in the church. Listen, we wouldn't have to worry about Hillary Clinton getting in office. She wouldn't make it. Because, listen, if more of God's people would stand on the Word of God. Now, I'm not a big Trump guy. But I'll be honest with you. He picked a great vice president. That I hope and pray he'll be a good balance for him. And I'm not going to be one of those and say, oh, I'm not going to vote because I don't know, he's not a Christian. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I just know I have an obligation to vote. I have an obligation to vote. And Hillary's not getting my vote. And I don't mind telling you. All right? Now, I know I've gotten off politics. That's free today. All right? Okay? But listen, we're in some tough times. We need to build the right foundation. How do we do that? Get back to the Word of God. And it's going to take believers, Christians. And I believe we still have hope for this nation. By the way, whether we're able to withstand and survive the storms is directly related to our attitude and obedience to the Word of God, right? You know, some people have already given up. Some people say, well, it's too far gone. I don't believe that. I still believe that, listen, that we can stand the times that we're in because it's been proven. This nation has been through tough times before. And by the way, there are Christians who have been through far worse around this world than we've ever faced that have stood. Read Daniel. Go back to Daniel's life and Daniel's times and the children of Israel. Sometimes we like to say, oh, poor us as Americans. You know, listen, it's not about America, it's about Christians taking a stand. It's about Christians trusting in their Almighty God to get them through the storms of life. And how do we do that? Get back to the Word of God. Job 23, verse 12. Notice what Job said in Job 23, 12. Job says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Well, listen, do we give the Word of God an esteemed place of honor in our lives? do we? You know, what the question is, what place does it have in your heart today? That's the challenge. You know, sometimes we can point a finger, and I'm guilty of this too sometimes, of others. Well, really, it has to start with us. We have to, you know, if we want, the old saying, if you want revival, you need to draw that circle around you, because that's where revival starts, within that circle. Because all of us need some sort of revival, right? We like to point a finger at other churches or other people, but listen, we've got to look at ourselves, and that's where it begins. So where are we at when it comes to honoring God's Word? Does God have an inside place? Does God even have a place of honor? And then it should be a place of trust. What place should the Word of God have in the hearts and lives of mankind? It should be a place of trust. We ought to be able to trust God's Word. You know, the Word of God is trustworthy. Can you agree with that? Say amen. It is. It's a trustworthy book. Men will fail us. Men will lie to us. Men will deceive us. But God is worthy of our trust. And so is, His Word is something that we can trust. The very people you're sitting around are capable of lying to you and have lied to you, probably. God never does that. Because you see, we're all capable of that. Now, I don't set out as a preacher, and I know that your spouse, your loved one, whoever, probably doesn't set out to be deceptive toward you. But you know what? To be honest with you, when it comes down to the kind of trust that we're speaking of, we really can't trust one another. But we can trust God, because God's never failed us. He'll never fail us. He has fulfilled every promise that's ever made. I like what Luke chapter 21 verse 33 says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, God says. His word's going to stand. Listen, they can vote it out of every political arena that they want to vote it out of, but God's word is going to stand, because it's always stood, and it'll be here when you die and I die. Listen, He cannot lie. He does not make mistakes. God's Word is trustworthy. I like what Titus had to say in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus says, in hope of eternal life. The word hope is a divinely promised and divinely guaranteed promise to all believers. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You get that? God cannot lie. Why? Because God Himself, He is truth. And it's impossible for Him to say anything that's untruthful. Now, we can't say that about one another, because we're not God, but He's God. And He cannot lie, Titus says. And He promised before the world began. What does that mean? Well, that just simply means that God's plan of salvation for sinful mankind was determined, and it was decreed before man was ever created. In other words, none of this stuff is catching God off guard. God knows, or God knew, what was going to take place in the year 2016. Nothing has caught God off guard. And by the way, you slip out and sin today, nobody's going to see it. Well, God does. Because you know what? God's never caught off guard. God knows all things. He sees all things. He hears all things. But you know what? God had a plan. Thank God for His plan. Aren't you thankful for that today? That over 2,000 years ago, God had a plan. And God implemented that plan. But it started way before we even became in existence. He said He promised before the world began. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Well, you know what? It didn't just happen. All of a sudden, man fell, and God didn't. He had to think about, what am I going to do now? How am I going to deal with this issue? That man has failed me. Listen, the Bible says here in Titus that God already had a plan before man fell in sin. That's what He's saying. Oh, listen, the Bible should be a place of trust. We can trust God's Word. We need to honor it in that way. Now, I told you there are two questions. The second question is, then why God's Word has no place in mankind? Why does God's Word not have a place in mankind's life? In some cases, it's because many are too busy for God. I've kind of alluded to that a little bit. that many are too busy, too many things to do, and too many places to go. There's just no place left for the Word of God. Preacher, at the end of the day, I'm just tired, I'm wore out. Ever find yourself getting that way? I've been there. Man, I get so busy starting out the day, and man, I want to accomplish this thing, and I have so many things I want to accomplish, and I really have the best intentions of ending it with the Word of God. But the body says you're too tired. The flesh says, you will catch up tomorrow. And you know what? Nothing wrong with catching up tomorrow, but you know what? If we keep doing that enough times, then we find ourselves that we're too busy for God's Word. You know, I find, of course, that folks have time for cell phones today. I know they say that downtown Prattville has been full of folks walking around with their cell phones. Looking. Now listen, you may not agree with this. They're looking for the devil. All right? They're looking for the devil. All right? Now, I say, that's my view of it. You may disagree with me, okay? Pokemon. I don't even know who Pokemon is. All I know is I've read up a few things, and I believe it's just a demon the devil's come up with that everybody's looking for. Invite them in their phones and lie. Now, preacher, you're lying to me. That's all right. That's just my opinion. By the way, opinions are not worth anything. The Word of God is. You can flush my opinion all you want, but I'm just telling you, be careful, because my spirit says, be careful of that. Be careful of that. So I say as your pastor, if you have any kids involved in that, listen, you might want to listen to the Spirit of God. If you just sense, listen, your spirit says be careful of that, then I would say leave it alone. So that's just what I say to this morning. But cell phones, social media. Radio and TV, all these things that we have in society, but boy, if we get wrapped up in these things, if we get so wrapped up, they become our life. They really do. Unfortunately, this is true of many believers, not just the unsaved. And by the way, I'm glad that Jesus isn't too busy for me when I need him. Aren't you? Many are too intelligent. You see, why God's Word has no place? Because some are too busy and some are too intelligent. Right? You ever run across people like that? By the way, at least they think they're too intelligent for God's Word. I've had people scoff at me because I believe the Word of God, literally laugh in my face, that you mean you believe this book? You know, shaking their heads in a way of just saying, you poor fool, how can anyone be so ignorant? But I like what Romans chapter 1 verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural, that is the unsaved man, received not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, it does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know or understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. By the way, only the Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, only the Holy Spirit of God can provide to his saints the capacity to discern the divine truth which the unsaved are unable to comprehend. Did you get what I'm saying? That, in other words, a lost person cannot open the Word of God and read it and comprehend it in the same light that a believer can. Because God really will speak to us and reveal to us things in our life as a believer that he may not reveal to a lost person. And by the way, that is God's... I can interpret Scripture, but the Spirit of God can reveal to me the truths of his Word. The same for you when we get in it. You see, some refuse to give place to the Word because they think that they're too intelligent. We see that today. There are some today that think they're too intelligent to give place to the Word, to believe the Bible, that the Bible is even relevant to their lives. There are those who will rationalize their sin by proving their utter foolishness by devising and believing their own philosophies about God, the universe, and themselves. This thing that's going on locally with Hopeful High School and the band there has gotten in the news recently. In other words, if you've heard the news, Hopeful is just a school of, I don't know, 20 miles maybe away from here. Well, they were told, one person called up the superintendent. By the way, I believe there's something going on here. I don't believe just one person got to that superintendent. The person I believe is probably the superintendent. Okay? I'm speculating because I know how powerful the superintendent is. But I do believe maybe one person did call him. I don't believe he's lying. But one person called him and said, hey, don't want that band singing Amazing Grace. Or not singing, but playing Amazing Grace. Okay? Or we'll sue you. So they closed it down. Okay? Why? Because this one person seems to be more intelligent than the rest. That's kind of what we run into in society. There are those today that think they're more intelligent. Have you heard about the Ark up in, where is this, Kentucky? Ark? I haven't been there. I love to go see that. Ham is his last name. I forget his first name. Ken Ham. Very biblically based. Constructed an ark. I mean, from the biblical times. Like a museum, you walk through there. Well, he invited one of his advocates, an atheist, to take a walk through there the other day. I should have wrote that down. I didn't. I just thought of as I was preaching. Bye, I think is his name. Bill Nye, thank you. He invited Bill Nye, an atheist, who took time to walk through there the other day. And so rather than walk through there and have open eyes to accept, you know, this is Bible, he began to be critical. One of the reasons, because they had dinosaurs in there. And his view of it, dinosaurs go back millions and millions and millions of years back, and there's no way that they would have been around a few thousand years ago. So for that reason alone, he could not open his heart and his mind to believing the Word of God. We run across people like that because there are some today that will not have placed the Word of God in their life or believe it because they're too intelligent. We have those today in society. Oh, listen. There are some today that won't let the Word of God have place in their heart because men are looking for something new today. Would you agree with that? There are people looking for something new. One of the biggest lies that's ever been perpetrated in our generation is new and improved. That's why every time a new cell phone comes out, they said it's new and improved. And I got caught up in that a few years ago and felt like every time one came out, I had to get update mine. Well, I don't do that anymore, unless it breaks. But listen, just because something is new doesn't mean it's better, does it? Many folks are tired of hearing the old, old story. We need to get back to hearing the old, old story. I mean, I like singing some of the songs of the old, old story in the church. But in their search for something new, they open themselves up to false teachers and cults. And, you know, when we do that, we have to be careful. We're looking for something new. There are people constantly today looking for something new. Because surely we got to improve on this book because, you know, it's out of date. We've got to bring it up to date and improve on it. So let's come up with something new. Notice what Paul said as in Acts chapter 17 and verse 21 as he encountered the Athenians. He says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new." Want to hear something new. Sometimes people won't come to church because they're back to church because they're looking for something new. So I'm going to go to this church down the street that, boy, seems they'd be getting big crowds in because, you know what? They seem to have something new to offer. By the way, if somebody's telling you there's something new they got to offer, they're telling you a lie. Because that means that they've added to God's Word that God had. Listen, this book still has 66 books in it. From Genesis to Revelation, there's not a new book here. There's not any new prophets, by the way. Listen, that's come up with anything. Listen, it's the same old book. It may be old, but it's still up to date and it's still new today. It's all about our attitude with it. If they only knew Christ, they would know that He and His Word grow sweeter each and every day. You see, once you come to know Jesus, this book doesn't look as old as it may once did. Once you come to know Jesus, it gets sweeter and sweeter every day. That's what Psalm says in Psalm 119, verse 103. It says, "How sweet," David says, "how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The older I get, and I say this, it truly means, I mean it. the sweeter God's Word gets. Because you know what? I realize there's nothing new out there. I don't need anything new. You don't need anything new. Why God's Word has no place? Because some are too busy, some are too intelligent. Some are wanting something new. And then lastly, some don't give place to God's Word because God's Word condemns them. Yes, God's Word is a condemning book. Now, please understand where I'm coming from. This is the real reason why so many refuse to give place to the Word of God in their lives, because God's Word does condemn. The Word of God condemns in the way that it will reveal sin. It's kind of like putting something under a microscope. And you put it under a microscope so you can kind of get in on it and see what is there and see things that you don't normally see unless you put it under a microscope. And you know what? If you get into God's Word enough times, you're going to find you're going to be condemned sometimes, but in a good way. Because God's Word reveals sin in our lives and it condemns it regardless of who we are. Now, God doesn't condemn us. God's not after us. He's died for us. He proved His love toward us over 2,000 years ago on the cross. But God's after our sin to point it out, to reveal it to us, because He knows what sin will do. There are certainly some who are above the laws of this country. I've already alluded to the fact that Hillary has proven the fact that she's above the laws of this country. The Supreme Court has proven in the last few years, they're above the laws of this country. Oh, but listen. No one, absolutely no one, is above the laws of God. We can get by with things, and we can break the law, and sometimes we do. And there are some that seem like they just seem forever getting by with things. But listen, one day every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess. Because we're not above the laws of this book. Now, that's not popular preaching today. I sent our president a text the other day. Don't know whether he got it. I sent him a message of Tony Evans preaching. Now, I like Tony Evans. He's a black preacher. But boy, he preached one of the best messages I've ever heard on how God's view, what God's view of race is. I challenge you to listen to it. So I sent that by Twitter. The president has a Twitter account, all right? So I looked it up. I told my wife afterwards, she said, he's going to find out about you. He probably already knows, or at least I ain't worried about that. Listen, but I say that not to be arrogant about it, but I hope he'll listen to it. I really do. Maybe he will, because the Bible says the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. And I sent it to the White House press secretary too, because he has some influence on the president. So I sent it to him, the same message. And you say, I don't know where those folks are going to get it. I don't know how God will direct that. Once I send it, it's in God's hands then. But I do know this. You know, God's law is going to stand, whether man stands on it or not. All who refuse to accept the finished work of Christ on Calvary as the only basis of salvation are condemned by His Word. John 3:18 says, He that believeth in Him is not condemned, is not judged, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. In other words, this is more than just intellectual belief. It involves having faith and trust and commitment to Christ and His Lordship. This will produce a change in the heart and cause obedience to the Lord. The very Word that is rejected is the standard of God's righteous judgment. John 12:48 says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So Jesus told these Jews, as he was preaching to them, he told the Jews that his word has no place in their lives. They probably didn't like that. That is why they wanted to kill him. He said, God's word has no place in your life. In other words, you don't know me. The word of God is true. The word of God is powerful. And it has the ability to bring about salvation. And you know what? The word of God may not have place in your life, in some of your lives here today. It should. If you have the Lord in your life, then you'll know him. You would have believed on him. And then obedience comes. It just comes natural. Commitment comes. Trust comes. Now, that's not to say that we don't fall back. That's not to say that sometimes we don't live up to certain standards of God, but yet you find yourself never wanting to get away from that because of the convicting power of His Word. Does it have an inside place? Does it have a place of honor? Does it have a place of trust? All that is asked is that we would receive it and that we would obey it. What about today? Let me ask you, have you given the Word its rightful place in your life? The Word, speaking of the Lord Jesus, have you given Him the rightful place in your life? Would you come to Him today if you haven't and receive Him? We're going to have an invitation. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? And Christians are praying this morning. But I dare say in a room this size, there may be someone who's never given their heart to the Lord. You're not sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Christians are praying at this moment for that one or for you that may be like that. But if you're here today and you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, it's not walking an aisle that saves you. Now that gets you on the right course. But it's putting your faith and trust in Jesus, having that heart of belief, acknowledging Him as your Lord and Savior. But at the same time, repenting of your sins and just inviting Him to come in. You say, preacher, I want to know more about that. We'll have an invitation. If you want to step forward, we'd be glad to show you from God's Word how you can trust the Lord.